Okay. We'll update us on IFRS 17.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Hans, and good morning to everyone. So the purpose of this session on the amendment to IFRS 17 is to provide you with an overview of the feedback on the exposure draft that we published in June. And we will also provide you with an update about the decision reached by the board after agenda paper for this meeting was posted. So as noted in slide 3 of agenda paper 4, we have received 122 comment letters in response to the exposure draft. The majority of the comment letters are from preparers and preparer representative bodies of the insurance and banking industries, and also from actuaries. We have also received many letters from the national standard setters, so many letters from you, and I wanted to say thank you again for all your comments. All regions are represented in the comment letters, which I think came from about 34 jurisdictions. So overall, the feedback in the comment letters is consistent with the feedback from the outreach. In total, we held about 70 meetings in 14 jurisdictions during the consultation period between July and September. As noted in slide 4, overall respondents expressed support for the process the board has followed in considering the concern and challenges arising in the implementation of IFRS 17 and proposing the targeted amendments to the standard. However, some respondents expressed the view that the board should extend the scope of some of the proposed amendments. I think that all acknowledge the direction of the amendment is generally right, but they think the board should have gone further with some of the proposed amendments. And in addition, also noted in slide 4, some respondents commented on the topics that the board considered when developing the exposure draft, but for which the board decided not to propose changing to IFRS 17, explaining the basis for conclusion on the exposure draft, the rationale for not proposing the amendments for those topics. And some respondents also commented on areas of IFRS 17 that the board did not consider when developing the exposure draft, raising new concern and implementation questions that are more detailed and relate to specific transactions and contracts in a small number of jurisdictions, therefore might not be relevant for a wide group of stakeholders. Moving to slide 5 in the slide deck. In November, the board considered a summary of the feedback from respondents, and in the light of that feedback, agreed to categorize the topics into three groups. The first group includes the 6 proposed amendments, which are listed in slide 6, that the board decided it should be able to confirm at a future meeting with no further analysis of the feedback, considering that there was a large amount of support for those amendments from the outreach and the comment letters. And actually, at the December meeting last week, the board has confirmed these 6 amendments as proposed in the exposure draft. The second group includes the topics the board decided to consider further in the light of the feedback from the outreach and the comment letters and some points identified by the staff for the board to consider, including additional information about the balance of the cost and benefit of some specific requirement in IFRS 17. So the topics in this second group are listed in slide 7. And at the December meeting, the board considered the additional analysis of the feedback performed by the staff for 2 topics in this group. The proposed amendment for the insurance acquisition cash flows and the proposed amendment for the reinsurance contract held. After a lively discussion, I mean lively compared to the discussion in the first group of topics, the board also decided to finalize the amendment for insurance acquisition cash flows as proposed in the exposure draft without no substantive changes, and decided to extend the proposed amendment for the accounting for reinsurance contract held to all reinsurance contracts, rather than limiting the amendment to proportionate reinsurance contract as proposed in the exposure draft. The board made this decision about reinsurance in the light of the concern that the board proposal to limit the amendment to proportionate reinsurance contract would capture only a very narrow population of contract. And finally, the third group includes the topics the board decided it does not need to consider further. The board concluded that it would be helpful to stakeholders if we provided clarity about the topics that are not going to be considered further, because a timely decision is expected to reduce the uncertainty about any possible additional amendments to IFRS 17, and therefore should help to limit disruption to the implementation processes that are already well underway. So these are the topics that are listed in slide 8. The board decided not to consider them further. This is either because there was support for the board not proposing amendments for these topics, or because the board has already considered the concern and the suggestions raised by respondents when developing the exposure draft. And from the analysis of the comment letters, the staff have not identified any points that the board has not considered in the past. To conclude, regarding the next steps in slide 9, we plan to present papers to the board regarding the remaining topics listed in slide 7 at future meetings in January and February 2020. These remaining topics include the proposed deferral of the effective date of IFRS 17 by 1 year. We expect to ask the board to consider these towards the end of redeliberation, once the board has considered the feedback on the other proposed amendments and the areas that the board has decided to consider further. And our aim remains to issue any final amendments to IFRS 17 in mid-2020. With that, I would now hand over to the ESAF members for the discussion. Thank you very much.
Everybody happy?
Linda, is on you.
Anthony, everybody. Oh, no, Anthony. Good.
I think first is just well done and how fast you're progressing through this. And I think this categorisation, I think, is very helpful for stakeholders to sort of get an early and clear pitch. And so I particularly welcome that. Also particularly welcome the contracts acquired in the settlement period, your willingness to try and add that, because I think that does lead to some very strange outcomes, which has really only come to light more recently. I think my only concern is, well, not concern, but considering the annual cohorts from specific insurance contracts, my concern within that would be how clearly can you draw the boundary between those within this idea of specific insurance contracts and those outside of it. If we're going to end up within the standard of having a different model based on contracts, it has to be absolutely clear-cut how you fall within this exception, I presume it will be, or however you end up framing it. But if there's a boundary within which you don't apply the annual cohorts, I'd only say if that's not absolutely clearly drawn, I really wouldn't want there to be an exception. So just to stress that.
You'd rather not see it.
I would rather not see it than have a blurred boundary, which will just create confusion and make ever more complexity in implementation.
Tommaso?
But as a general comment, I should say that I really welcome that the ISB wanted to re-debate on some issues that were not in the amendment, and especially on those that we raised in our comment letters. This is something that we really welcome, and we'll see what. I mean, this doesn't imply, I understand, any kind of decision that will be taken of introducing something or amending FRS 17, but it's just a further debate. So we will have time to see and comment on the ISB work on that. So at this stage, I think the only slide which we can comment is slide 8, in which there is the decision not to take into consideration some items. And on this slide, I just have a comment on the classification of contracts acquired and business combination. This is probably not a very important point itself, but from a conceptual point of view, I struggle to see whether a contract which is probably a classified as an incurred claim becomes insurance contract, because insurance contract with the CSM recalculated on a new insurance risk, just because it was part of a business combination. From a conceptual point of view, I have difficulties to understand, and I also understood that the ISB wanted to make a simplification for the transition. Maybe it's not part probably of the package now, because I see very, very challenging items, challenging process to complete FRS 17, but maybe this is something to explain, basis for conclusions, why really conceptually we should consider we are repackaging a sort of new insurance contract which wasn't at the beginning, because the insurance risk was another one. So I struggle really to solve this point, to understand the concepts behind this decision.
Cédric?
Thank you, Hans. Well, we are very supportive of the current discussion at ISB on IFRS 17. We think that the feedback that has been made of the consultation is pretty in line what we also communicated in our letter. So, and we also noticed the convergence of the concern and also on many suggestions that were made. We have followed the first discussion last week, and we are very supportive of the evolution on the reinsurance, because we were also supporting that no difference had to be made between proportionate and non-proportionate. We are still a bit worried by the fact that we may do some financial reengineering, because we do not consider only reinsurance providing a net gain, but also those providing net costs. So that was one of the points that we mentioned also in our letter. But by and large, I think we are very supportive of the new suggestion made in the recent discussions. We are supporting all the new discussions that you will have in the coming months, even if it's a challenge within 2 months. So. If we can help you and support you in that challenge, we are ready for that. On the topics that are not considered further, we understand fully that it's difficult to focus on every topic at the same time. There is maybe an area of it where we would like to attract some attention, which is the tension between IFRS 9 and IFRS 17. It's a difficult area to focus on, where all the different kind of mismatch may appear. There are long discussion. There have been long discussion at EFRAG level on hedge accounting and risk mitigation, the scope of risk mitigation. We have still some question from our stakeholder why risk mitigation is not allowed for in the general model, where it is allowed for the VFA, because our understanding is that from a conceptual point of view, the risk mitigation solution is provided where there is some CSM, and CSM also exists in the general model. So people are still struggling with the limits of the application of the risk mitigation. So there are several issues and also on the transition, probably there are it's adjustments that may be interesting to be further investigated, especially on the application of OCI and the way it will be represented. All in all, we are supportive of the project, and we think it will be a real improvement.
Thank you, Cedric. Jay Ho.
Our stakeholders very much welcome the ISB's move to address annual calls for some specific insurance contract. To be more specific, our stakeholders think that special thought should be given to those annual calls for insurance contracts with intergenerational sharing of risk between policyholders. Thank you.
Linda?
Thank you. So, at the risk of being repetitive, I would say that first of all, I want to commend you. You must be insuranced out in terms of your deliberation, so I commend you for continuing to work on this. And I would reiterate what Cedric said. If there's anything we as national standard setters can do to help, we stand ready to do that. So I just want to emphasize again the comments I made earlier with regard to the Common Global Adoption Date, because I know that if we repeat the experience in Canada that we had with IFRS 11, that's not going to bode well for the work that we are all trying to do. We are in this together. We need to try to avoid a common global adoption date. So certainly in our jurisdiction, if there's anything we can do to help accommodate that, we stand ready to do that.
Yara, did you want to contribute?
Yes, thank you. We, our board is monitoring closely these projects. It will be, they will be updated tomorrow on the latest deliberation. EFRAG-TEG discussed the slides that Roberta illustrated. They were very positive and supportive of the way the issues have been categorized and overall on the deliberation plan. There was an area of attention around, from a European perspective, the need to have a separate process for the endorsement of the deferral of IFRS 9. Which has to be completed by the end of 2020 to be able not to create problems in January 2021. So this was flagged as an element that was not separate in the boxes in the slide. So not sure whether this implies something or not, but just I know that you are perfectly aware of the importance that this element has from our perspective. Then Cedric mentioned the work that our technical expert group and insurance accounting working group is doing on hedge accounting and interactions between 9 and 17. This has to be done because this element of the remaining mismatches of assets and liabilities is one of the topics that we need to address for the endorsement advice. And as we are starting to work on parallel on this, we are we are doing this exercise. This is all from my side for the time being.
Okay, thank you, Chiara. Any other comments, suggestions? No? Then I propose we take a break for lunch until 1:15.